This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
But who's counting, right?
And his name is Major.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome Major Garrett
from the nation's capital.
Major, fantastic.
It's the takeout.
This is a major achievement.
With CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent.
Major Garrett.
Yes, CBS.
Yes, I.
Major Garrett.
Major, that's nonsense, and you should know better.
Is Major out of the doghouse?
The answer is yes.
Welcome to the very best part of my broadcast week. I'm Major Garrett, and we are coming to you from a very special location, a place we've never taken the show before. It is the ambassador's residence of the French ambassador here in the United States. Philippe Etienne is his name. He is the living, breathing embodiment of the French government in the United States here in the nation's capital. Mr. Ambassador, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Major, or more precisely, for coming to my place.
Yes,
it's a great pleasure and a great honor.
And it's a beautiful residence, I should let you know. And as you walk in, you see two things that catches the eye of an American like me right off the bat. A portrait of George Washington and a portrait very nearby of the Marquis de Lafayette.
You could have mentioned the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, indeed.
We have here since July 14th a true replica of the original one in New York.
A bequest of the French government to the United States. And of course, if you know anything about the Revolutionary War, you know Lafayette is crucial to America's efforts to win that battle against the British Empire. So we are eternally grateful to the nation of France for that. So, Mr. Ambassador, that brings me to an important question. You know the question. Before you were recalled to France recently, there had never been a time when a French ambassador in the United States since 1790 had been recalled. What is the current state of relations between France and the United States?
Well, I don't want to correct what you have said, but it is not the first time an ambassador had been recalled, but the first time an ambassador had been recalled for consultations, which makes a difference.
What's the difference?
The difference is in the word consultations, because it was not only about the fact of recalling me, but also of thinking about what had happened, but also, and now more importantly, about how we could rebuild the relationship.
So consultations means there was something wrong, and you had to come back to France to discuss what went wrong and what to do in the future.
Yes, and consultations meant also how shall we do in the future to amend, to improve our relations and the way we work together, because we are so close allies, the United States and France. We had to look at the way ahead, and not to remain on what had happened.
So we can go into some details, but put simply, this was a moment in which France felt, according to the words of the foreign minister, betrayed. There was duplicity. There was lying about an underlying understanding the French government thought it had with Australia, upset by an alliance over a submarine contract, United States, United Kingdom, and Australia. Does that feeling that there was lying, duplicity, contempt still exist?
I don't know whether AUKUS is a project or an alliance, but the issue which was raised was, in fact, much more than an industrial or trade partnership. The fact that there had been no consultation, no information between allies on a subject which was and which is important to all of us, which is actually our security, our strategies, respective strategies in a very in a now very important region for the world.
Yes.
Asia-Pacific, Indo-Pacific, where France is not only active, but also is one of the nations of this region through our territories, overseas territories.
1.65 million French citizens, if I understand correctly.
Yes, we say 1.7, 1.8, close to 2 million.
Okay.
But anyway, a lot of people for France, not that many for a big country, of course. Mm-hmm. But we have to protect those territories. We have to protect those citizens. We have to protect the exclusive economic zone, which is huge. And those territories are both in the Pacific Ocean and in the Indian Ocean, mm-hmm. which makes our presence, I think, important also for our allies, including our American allies.
The Economist magazine said France felt dumbfounded, humiliated, and irate about this submarine deal. Fair characterization?
Again, the issue was mostly how do we behave between allies and the positive aspect of this was that the U.S. immediately reached out to France, and we had very, very quickly, 1 week after, the first phone call between the two presidents.
Mm-hmm. President Biden, President Macron.
President Biden and President Macron.
Were you on that call?
Yeah, and I listened to the two calls. There was another call last Friday, and without betraying anything, I can draw your attention to the joint statement which was published after the call, the first of those two calls,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that now we are preparing the meeting in Rome of the two presidents.
Will that meeting be symbolic or substantive?
I think it will be both symbolic of the real importance of our alliance.
And the mending of
it? And also substantive through the number of strategic issues that we have been working on and that the two presidents will discuss.
Has trust been reestablished, or is trust still something on the minds of the French government as it relates to dealings with the United States?
We are rebuilding trust now, and this is the process we are going through. Preparing for this important meeting between our presidents.
So you use the acronym AUKUS, and I want to make sure our audience understands that. That's an acronym for Australia, that's the A, UK, United Kingdom, that's AUK, and then US, United States.
Yes, I did not find the acronym.
And if you page through The Economist, the cheeky newspaper that it is, it calls it the AUKUS ruckus. But if I hear you correctly, Mr. Ambassador, it's about that, but it's also about how whatever came of that agreement or disagreement, France was not properly consulted or given a heads up by the U.S. government. And that's where
Or by Australia.
And that's where these feelings of betrayal, humiliation, lying, duplicity come from.
I will not repeat or use myself any of these concepts because now we are.
But they are out there.
At least with the United States, we are in a more positive process of rebuilding trust and restarting a great relation based on strategic common visions of the most important problems we face. Yes, the issue again was and is also important for
in
the future.
Words, how good friends, how would we be blindsided?
How would we behave? And it goes in two directions. We must also except to consult each other when we feel that there is something important for the core security interests of the partner. We should do that, not be taken by surprise, as we were by the decision by Australia, and in that case the United States.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the partnership which did exist before was not only within between the Australian government and the French company, but also involved an American company, Lockheed Martin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thinking about Asia-Pacific, Indo-Pacific region, does this episode make it more difficult in your mind, Mr. Ambassador, for the French government and the U.S. government to cooperate?
I hope not, and I believe not. No, this is exactly the purpose of what we're doing, even in the Indo-Pacific, actually. I think that there is something positive in what happened, which now the U.S. Seems to be maybe more aware of the importance of our presence in this region, and not only of the presence of France, but also of the investment which the European Union is ready to make. The very day of the announcement of AUKUS, the European Union and France was very much in favor of this movement, had published its own Indo-Pacific strategy. So now we see that there is a higher awareness of the greater awareness here.
And with that awareness might be an opportunity to build something. I'm going to stop you right there, Mr. Ambassador, because we need to run to a break, but I will come back to that thought and future relations between the United States and France when we continue. My name is Major Garrett. We are at the ambassador's residence. The ambassador's name, Philippe Etienne. We'll be back in just 1 second.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
From CBS News, this is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
Welcome back. This is The Takeout. I'm Major Garrett. Our guest this week, France's ambassador to the United States, Philippe Etienne. We are at his residence here in Washington, D.C. Mr. Ambassador, we were talking a little bit about Indo-Pacific, Asia-Pacific region. Writ large, how important is how the West, meaning the United States, its European allies, deal with China, and how significant an economic and national security, either competitor or threat, does the Chinese government loom?
First, Indo-Pacific is not only about China. We have a lot of partners there. Australia is one of them, but we have also India, we have Japan, we have Korea, we have the Southeastern nations of Asia. We have the other Pacific
some former colonies,
states, New Zealand. And we have a lot of island states, and since we are heading to the COP26, the climate conference, there is this huge challenge for those island states and the threat posed by the climate change.
Principally through weather and sea level rise.
And the sea level rise. So there are a lot of common challenges in this region, one of them being, of course, linked to the fact that Asia and Eastern Asia is and has been already since some years one of the most dynamic parts of the world in terms of trade and economy. This is one of the reasons why the freedom of maritime circulation is also so important for all of us, not only for America or for Asia, but also for Europe. This is also one of the reasons why the Indo-Pacific strategy is an important strategy, not only for France, which has territories there, as we have seen, but also for all European nations. And there, of course, is China and the big power with the rise of its power of influence. And we consider China, I think, like the U.S., at the same time as a competitor, as a partner, but also as a rival, I would say, even in the European policy terms, a systemic rival on some issues.
And how many of those issues are military distinctly? There has been quite a bit of commentary in the United States about not only acquisition of weapons in China, acquisition of territory or creation of territory in the South China Sea that appears to be, from U.S. eyes, strictly for military purposes. And that's perhaps a position from which China could exert undue influence on the flow of commerce through there or to intimidate Hong Kong or Taiwan.
Well, here there are different dimensions when we speak about values, human rights. Mm-hmm. It's a real and a big difference between us and China, of course, our vision of those issues of human rights. And security and freedom of maritime circulation, of course, are issues of big interest to all of us, including in Europe. As I said before,
we have our own interests,
even direct interests in these regions. So we are directly interested, even if this French population is not that big still. We are interested by their security, by their protection, by the security of communications. All of this is obviously important to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Would you describe, from the French perspective, that region of the world, the one that is most tenuous or most dangerous right now?
Well, I don't know, actually. I don't want to underestimate the risks there, but we have so many common challenges. I mentioned climate change, which is a threat everywhere around the planet. And we don't need to underestimate the remaining threat of terrorism. Mm-hmm. So we have, in our time, in the present time, a lot of challenges we must face together. This makes our alliances all the more important, of course. So without, I don't want to escape your question about the Indo-Pacific, but it's a good opportunity for me to also to recall that terrorism remains a danger. We must not ignore it, both internally and externally.
And in that regard, how do you evaluate what has happened in this calendar year under President Biden's watch in Afghanistan?
One of the issues, considering the consequences of the sovereign decision of the United States to withdraw its troops from Afghanistan, is, and here I think we agree with the U.S., to be sure that Afghanistan cannot become again safe haven for terrorist organizations. And it is one of the main criteria for us to assess the policy of the new Taliban authority inside Afghanistan. We must not forget that, like in Africa, where the French army is at the forefront with the Sahelian governments against terrorism. Like in Africa, in Afghanistan, you can have two different terrorist organizations representing a danger, Al-Qaeda, but also the Islamic State, ISIS, which is right now multiplying the terrorist attacks against mosques or infrastructures. While the Taliban have the power now in Afghanistan.
Has the French government made a decision about what degree or to whatever degree it may or may not recognize the Taliban, or how is it consulting with the United States about dealing with Taliban and various issues of either recognition, humanitarian assistance, economic assistance, and the like?
We have made our determination on this, the main criteria, quite early. Safe passage for people wanting to leave Afghanistan or to travel out of Afghanistan and maybe to come back. Safe passage. Access of humanitarian aid to the Afghan people, because Afghanistan is going through a very difficult time, and we must absolutely secure the access of international humanitarian aid to its populations. Rights, human rights, and in particular rights of women and girls. And as I said, an effective fight against terrorist organizations to prevent them to use Afghanistan again, both against the Afghan people, of course, but also from Afghanistan against other countries.
How's the Taliban doing on those criteria?
We are just at the beginning of this new government, and I think that we have been working mostly for the time being on access of humanitarian aid. I mean, the international organizations funded by the international community.
Fair to say, the signs are not yet encouraging. Fair to say.
Also the fact that the new Taliban government may not be described cannot be described as really inclusive. Right. Of course. So it's...
Early signs are discouraging. I don't know whether it is...
Already, if we have enough observations, but indeed all the signs are not encouraging. But we have to focus on the most pressing issues, which are the issues where people are in need
of
help.
Was there any surprise within the French government about the U.S. decision or the way it was communicated to leave Afghanistan and the pace of that withdrawal?
Well, the U.S. decision has been taken by the previous administration, has mm-hmm. been confirmed by this one. So I don't think it was a surprise as such. Then we had to respond to do what we could do after the withdrawal, and considering the very sudden. Disappearance of the previous Afghan government. It was so quick, so sudden that we had to hurry, and we had, as you know, not that many times. I must say that in 2 weeks we have in the second half of August. It's indeed amazing how many Afghan and foreigners, Afghan people and foreigners could be evacuated. But indeed, we had not very much time.
Not very much time at all. Heading to segment three of The Takeout, I'm Major Garrett. We are here at the French Ambassador's Residence. Our guest is the French Ambassador of the United States, Philippe Etienne. Back for segment three in just a second.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
From CBS News, this is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
Welcome back. I want everyone to know we are recording this on October 25th, so there might be some things. I don't think things will be that much different when the show airs, but just in case they are, giving you a time check on that. Philippe Etienne is our special guest. He is the ambassador for the French government here in the United States. We're at his beautiful residence here in Washington, D.C. Mr. Ambassador, was this strain in U.S.-French relations tough on you personally?
Well, it was not easy, of course, to go through this process, to be recalled for consultations, to go to Paris. My wife stayed in Washington. I was 10 days in Paris. It was a very, very busy period because there was such a huge interest and need to understand what happened in France. And... So it was both at the same time. I had no time to really to stop and to. I was taken in this. How do you say, whirlwind of activities, but yes, it was a challenge. It was a challenge because at the same time we had to explain why we did react so strongly. And immediately we had to think of how to reconstruct a relation because this alliance is so important for France and I guess maybe not without significance for the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And this is not going to come as a surprise to you, Mr. Ambassador, but there are those who've written in the United Kingdom, sometimes you see in the United States, that sometimes the French overreact. Mm-hmm. The French can be petulant when they have their own reasons that they don't want to acknowledge, that they have some skeletons in their closet. That all is part of assessing each other, both in terms of national character, culture, and differences like that. But to recall an ambassador for consultations means to send a signal that this is not what you think it is. This is something different and materially different and really big to us. That's really what this was about, right?
Yes, it was.
Don't categorize this like you would categorize things in the past. This is different.
It was a way to express the gravity of what had happened, but as I explained before, also, and here the word consultations matters, to explain that we wanted to go through a process of understanding how it could have happened and discussing it very frankly with our American partners. And our American partners have, as I said, reached out, and we could fortunately started this dialogue very, very quickly, which mm-hmm. was important.
Mm-hmm. It was described that the joint statement released after the first phone call was a non-apology apology from the United States. Would you say that's true?
What was important is to underline the importance of consultations. Indeed, it was the purpose of this joint statement, one of the purpose, but there were two other important parts already there. The two presidents decided over the process, in-depth consultations, the ambassador coming back after 10 days, and they decided on the issues which should discuss in this process. Not only the principle of consultations, the importance of consultations between allies, but also three strategic subjects: Indo-Pacific, European defense, and the fight against terrorism in Africa on the side of the African countries.
I'm so glad you mentioned Africa, because that's the next thing I want to discuss with you. There is now some commentary in the United States that, okay, Afghanistan was this 20-year experiment of projection of U.S. forces, propping up of a government that turned out to be not only not able to stand on its own, but weakened internally by corruption. There is now commentary that much of the same experiment the United States has been carrying out in North Africa is also facing similar consequences. Terrorism is still there. There is a U.S. relationship with those in the French who are working there, who are lead, oftentimes militarily, but the success doesn't appear as robust as maybe had been hoped. What is the French government assessment about this experiment to combat and fight terrorism in North Africa?
Well, the differences are
there are many differences.
Very,
yes.
Very big. By the way, we speak about Sahel. It's an enormous region.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's five countries at least.
Mm-hmm.
We speak their alliance is called G5, mm-hmm. from Mauritania to Chad. And you must also recognize that the instability of this region is not only the instability of those five countries. It is a reason why stabilizing Libya is so important. We will have on November 12th a very important summit co-organized by the United Nations, Italy, Germany, and France in Paris to stabilize more exactly to help the Libyan people themselves through elections,
mm-hmm.
Stabilize their country, reunite
their
country.
Take it out of failed state status, which is where it is right now.
And also become able to govern themselves without the presence of military elements from outside. This is really important also for the Sahel.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, in all those crises, we see the regional dimension, which is important. But we see also the through Africa, Afghanistan,
I guess the essence of my question is, how is this experiment going?
The danger of those international terrorist groups
mm-hmm.
getting strength from one place to another.
Right. How is that going?
And those two terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda and ISIS,
mm-hmm.
you find them both in the Middle East, in Southern Asia, in Africa, and not only in Sahel. So this is obviously a big challenge, first for the countries which are hit by these groups, but also for the whole international community. And we know it is difficult. We know we must help those countries develop their own, not only armed forces, but also governance in the regions where the terrorist groups are the most influential. But I think it is really important for us to observe that more and more European countries are there on the side of France and the Sahelian countries, and that benefit from a support through critical capacities of the United States. And this is this last point, which was mentioned by the two presidents on September 22nd.
This important phone call, beginning to rebuild the relationship. So we have one more segment, and I want to begin the bridge to that last segment, talking about climate change, the big meeting in Scotland, which comes up at the end of this week. The president's traveling there. From the French perspective, what is at stake at the COP26 conversations? What is the European assessment of either the success or failure of the Biden administration to significantly change U.S. policy to move in a more aggressive climate change posture?
What is at stake is a very important, cannot be overestimated. It's about the implementation of the goal of the Paris Climate Agreement, which is to limit the global warming to 1.5 degrees compared to the pre-industrial times. And we have not much time left to succeed. For this, we must raise the ambitions each country on the Earth, especially the most important emitters. And we must also complete the work of defining the implementing rules of the Paris Climate Accord. And finally, we must increase the financing of actions, what we call mitigation, but also adaptation, especially in those countries which are not rich enough to pay all the which must be done. It's about public climate finance, but also about mobilizing more and more private climate finance. It's a huge task, and we are happy to see that this U.S. administration, I think in particular of John Kerry, has been so active since January 20th. Before that, the Europeans were really not only the leaders for climate, but sometimes had to fight for the Paris Climate Accord against not the U.S. in general, because many people in the U.S. were still in, governors, cities, businesses, civil society, but against the U.S. administration of that time.
Which was President Trump. I'm going to stop you right there. Ambassador Philippe Etienne is our special guest. Back for segment four of The Takeout in just one moment.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
From CBS News, this is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
Welcome back. Segment four of The Takeout here at the beautiful Ambassador's Residence. Who's the ambassador? Philippe Etienne. Who does he represent? The French government right here in the United States. Mr. Ambassador, continuing our conversation about COP26. Right now in Europe, there is a bit of an energy shortage and a spike in prices. And there have been some commentators who said this is a particularly acute problem throughout Europe because there is a transition to renewables that is not meeting the needs of consumers. There is extraordinary influence being exerted by Russia with its control or heavily influence of supplies of natural gas, oil and coal, also Saudi Arabia. And that maybe Europe has tried to switch too rapidly to renewables, and that is making some of these supply shortages and price spikes more difficult. How does the French government evaluate all of these things that are boiling up right now in the homes and pocketbooks across Europe?
Well, first, it would be a paradox to say that this crisis would mean that climate change policies are a mistake. On the contrary, they remind us that the dependency on hydrocarbons is a too high dependency on hydrocarbons is not good, indeed. And it is the whole purpose of the of our climate change policies to lower this dependency. Now, of course, the question, as you said very rightly, of the transition
right.
is a difficult one, and here we must secure the fairness of this transition. It must not be the case that it is a burden only on those who have already more difficulties than others in our societies. And for this reason, our country, our government, has taken measures which are differentiated, which tend to help alleviate the effects of the price hike on those who have the less revenues mm-hmm. in our society. This is the most important thing to do. And probably the concept of fairness of transition applies also internationally to the international community. And for this reason, the more developed countries, as I said, must do still a bit more to help those developing nations
who
face those big issues of climate change and who did not create it,
right.
frankly.
I want to go back to the meeting coming up very soon between President Biden and President Macron in Rome. Is there a specific agenda for that? Is there something you hope substantively can be announced or said on the other side of that meeting?
I think that the conversation will be of course, about the main issues at stake on the G20 and in Glasgow, mm-hmm. as we have discussed already. Right. I would add the fight against the pandemics, the economic recovery, everything which hits or is a concern to all our countries right now, plus the strategic issues we have been discussing in this process of repairing the relation, of rebuilding trust between our two countries, which I mentioned again, Indo-Pacific. Mm-hmm. European defense, we didn't speak about European defense, which has to be to the benefit of the U.S. and to the benefit of the alliance, complementary to NATO, must be stronger and can be stronger, more capable. And finally, already mentioned, fight against terrorism in Africa.
Where does Iran fall into that conversation, not only about strategic interests, but about Europe? Nicolas Sarkozy very famously said one time when he was president of France, there are two problems, Iran getting a bomb or bombing Iran. You don't want to do either. The world ought to avoid both. The Iran nuclear deal was pulled out of by the former U.S. administration, led by President Trump. There are Biden administration efforts to reconstitute it. Those have not so far succeeded very much. The Iranians are driving a pretty hard bargain. Where does Iran fit into all this?
You're right to mention Iran. It will be for sure discussed among the most pressing issues today. All the more that we are working the three European signatories, which are France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, have been negotiating from the very beginning, from 20 years ago, goal of that Iran must not acquire the nuclear bomb. It's an issue of essential issue of non-proliferation and of regional stability.
And it's been said in the last year and a half, Iran's getting closer.
Yeah.
Centrifuges are spinning. Iran enrichment is getting closer to weapons grade.
Mm, Iran has been increasing its violations of the JCPOA, and the negotiation had started last spring, but have stopped 4 months ago because of the Iranian decision to leave Vienna. The time a new administration would be elected and then in function in Tehran, which is now the case. So we are indeed working very hard. I mean, we, the three European countries, together with the US, which now has declared its willingness to come back to the JCPOA, but also with Russia and China, who are the two other signatories of this nuclear deal, and who have a very important role to play with Iran.
This feels like it's moving in a dangerous direction.
Well, the problem of the problems of the world are not easy, and non-proliferation is a big issue. Also, when you look at the developments in North Korea, for instance, it must be taken seriously.
But the newly elected regime in Iran appears to be harder set and moving in this direction than the previous one. They're not engaging in negotiations. Inspectors are less welcome. These things feel like they're moving into a more confrontational direction.
Well, we'll see, because at the same time they say that they want to come back at one point, and we'll see what is what this deem their interest. Their interest might be still to alleviate the terrible economic pressures on their population through sanctions. So we work on this resumption of negotiations where they were left by Iran last June. But and we are also, and I thank you for having mentioned this other dimension, very, very keen to support the International Atomic Energy Agency of Vienna. Because it's the other issue, which is in Tehran, which must respect all its obligations towards this international regime of non-proliferation.
That is the voice of the French ambassador to the United States. His name is Philippe Etienne. We have been his special guest here in his beautiful residence here in Washington, D.C. For our radio audience, we need to bid you farewell. But for those watching on CBSN, stay with us and on podcast platforms, you always do, because the Takeout Outtake Especial is next.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
From CBS News, this is The Takeout with Major Garrett.
Welcome to your Takeout Outtake Especial. I'm Major Garrett. We are in the beautiful residence of the French ambassador to the United States. His name is Philippe Etienne. Mr. Ambassador, when we were talking between breaks, you mentioned, well, I was the first ambassador recalled for consultations, but there was a French ambassador in the United States recalled in 1792. Pick up the story from there, if you'd be so kind.
Yes, a young envoy of the French Revolution called Genet. He landed in Charleston. He started, raise money to start wars against Spain, against the UK. It didn't please at all President Washington at the time. He wanted to keep the neutrality of his country. And so he asked Paris for recalling this ambassador. And when Genet arrived finally to the capital, which was at that time Philadelphia, there had even been a change of the government in Paris. And the new government also wanted to recall him. And Genet didn't want to go back to France because it was a revolution. And this new government would not have treated him at all well. You know, people went to the guillotine quite easily at that time. So Genet applied for political asylum to President Washington. And through the intercession of Hamilton, Washington, who had asked for the recall of this young and very, very active, a bit too active ambassador of the French Revolution, accepted to grant political asylum to Genet, who lived and married a young, rich American girl in New York and settled in the United States.
If Lin-Manuel Miranda is listening, there's a segment of another musical that I think it could be found embedded right into that little story. And what's interesting about that, Mr. Ambassador, is that Hamilton interceded on behalf of this particular ambassador when it was well known his loyalties or his predilections were to the British,
not
as opposed to the French.
Jefferson was much more inclined on the French side than Hamilton. Yes, and Washington wanted, for good reasons, the young republic to remain neutral in facing the conflict between the big powers in Europe.
A memorable part of the musical Hamilton, the neutrality statement drafted by Hamilton on behalf of the President of the United
States,
George Washington.
I think they had developed a personal friendship.
Very good. In such things, diplomacy matters a great deal, does it not, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, in all things, not only in such things.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about French food and the state of French food, not only in France, but in America. We had a wonderful lunch here featuring some French chefs here in Washington. Just run with that, Mr. Ambassador, a little bit.
You know, we are very proud of our heritage in the field of cuisine, gastronomy, and wines and food. And this not the food itself, but this art of having hosting people around a table for a good meal with good wines has been selected by UNESCO as a universal heritage, non-material universal heritage. It's not like monuments; it's a non-material heritage. And we celebrate this every year, organizing dinners around the world, in the embassies, in the restaurants. It's really important from all sorts of point of view. Of course, it's important also to do it now after the pandemic has damaged very much these activities. We have seen so many restaurants suffering from the crisis. So it's also for us a way to thank all those who work to restore the strength of this industry, which is so important not only for the economy, for the employment, but also for the way of life.
It's a way of life for those who dine. It's a way of life for those who cook. A way of life for those who serve.
Absolutely.
And a way of life for everyone who lives around people who do all the following. And you mentioned the heritage. The heritage of this very show, Mr. Ambassador, is I created it for two reasons. One, to have lengthy interviews with important people who have interesting things to say, and those interviews never be edited, so everyone has a full access to what they said. That was priority number one. Priority number two, for me, was to have a show built around a meal. Because conversations, I believe, over meals are fundamentally different than any other kind of conversation.
No, you're right. And by the way, it is one of the reasons why UNESCO has considered it as something really worth being paid a tribute. And since I am a diplomat and an ambassador, we know in the French diplomacy that a good meal is worth more than many hard negotiations, and that even as Talleyrand said during the big diplomatic negotiation, which ended the period of the French Empire in 1815, you know, the Vienna conversations, the Vienna negotiations, it's more important to have a good chef than anything else when you are going through a negotiation. It's something which is still the reality in our diplomacy.
Interesting. So we have three questions, Mr. Ambassador, we ask every single guest who's been on our show. The ambassador from Belgium has answered these questions. The ambassador from the United Kingdom has answered these questions. I put them to you. And they're not that difficult, so don't be nervous. Don't be nervous at all, Mr. Ambassador.
My God.
Very easy, very easy. So in your life, has there been a book you would describe as the most influential or an influential book in your life, meaning a book that you read and it changed a perspective on a particular issue or a thought or it became a turning point in your life? That's question one. One of your all-time favorite movies? That's an easy one. Question two. And if you're going to really enjoy some beautiful music, really enjoy it, what kind of music is that most likely to be?
Tchaikovsky.
Okay.
The Name of the Rose. is a film and a book, Umberto Eco. Mm-hmm. But I would quote two books, La Comédie Humaine from Balzac. Mm-hmm. And Considering My Time in the U.S. on the Road by Jack Kerouac, yes. Which has given me a sense of this country and on its variety, but also its incredible dynamism. I have not forgotten.
Tell my audience why you enjoy Tchaikovsky so much.
I lived in Russia, and it reminds me in all the dimensions of his work, symphony, concerto, operas. It reminds me and my wife our life in Russia, and also it's an incredibly beautiful and meaningful music.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Mr. Ambassador, it's been a great pleasure to be with you. Thank you for your hospitality. Thanks for the conversation. I'm Major Garrett. That's Takeout Especial. We will see everyone and be back with you next week. I'm Major Garrett. We'll see you next week.
The Takeout is produced by Arden Fari, Jamie Benson, Sarah Cook, Ellie Watson, Jake Rosen, and Ashley Armstrong. CBSN production by Eric Susanen. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Takeout Podcast. That's at Takeout Podcast. And for more, go to takeoutpodcast.com. The Takeout is a production of CBS News.
If you like The Takeout, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.